Hello and welcome to Panel for the People. This is an improvised panel game show where we take suggestions from the audience, including the title of each edition of the show. So, from the audience, are there any suggestions for what this week's show will be called?
Michael Contario, Stole My Wombat.
Michael Contario, Stole My Wombat. Any other suggestions? We can go with that one if you like. Okay. Hello, and welcome to Michael Contario, Stole My Wombat. I'm Michael Contario, and I did in fact steal my own wombat purely to give a title to a panel show. And I'm joined by four amazing improvised comedians. Chris Moten. Tom Ellis. Jonathan Cairns. And Dave Birch. Our first game is Complete the Lyric, where I will provide the panelists with lyrics of songs, and they have to complete them in a humorous fashion. Do you hear the people sing?
I think they're laughing, they're not singing.
Audience contribution there, can we just get that actually recorded? Do you hear the people sing?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
It was funny the first time.
I think
our audience are starting to realise that if they make suggestions, then you're going to point the microphone at them.
And now an hour of cowed silence.
You could have suggested that for the title. I can show you a world.
A world of pain!
Slightly different version of Aladdin.
I can show you a world, but you see, you bought it.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling.
Because otherwise your feeling might get away, and then you'll have to catch that feeling. And then, like, if you fail to catch that feeling, you'll probably have to file a missing feelings report.
You'll have to put up posters on lampposts.
Just like the feeling police are not very good at.
With a picture of that feeling. Lost feeling, 2 years old. Responds to the name of happiness. And
can that be the name of the show?
We are the champions, my friend, and we'll keep on fighting till the end.
Because tiddlywinks isn't enough for us.
Dancing queen, young and sweet.
Shame she's 95.
Dancing queen, young and sweet. These aren't the rules of chess.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
We're actually reptiles.
As well.
You're basically describing an animal which is multi-classed.
And multi-sexed.
Is this the first lecture in anatomy? You've got to start with... You sort of start at home, right?
Dissection begins at home.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and...
It opened the bookcase and there was a stairway down into the bowels of the earth.
And the Lord said, wait, that was mine. Stop it. I didn't know it did that.
That's my holiday home. It's nice and warm down there.
Are you suggesting that hell was originally created to be a holiday home for God?
But it got a bit messed up.
It's nice, like, and warm, yeah.
It's nice and warm.
It's like Club 1830 for angels.
I've that... There was a point when God was like, God, this place is awful. I wouldn't wish this on my... Oh, hang on.
And I think points there go to Chris and Tom for there and deciding that hell is now a holiday home.
High five. Your idea, I shared the credits.
Okay, and now the next round is called Change Speech, where each pair of panellists is going to give a speech. But one of them will give the speech while the other will wait for them to say something which is not up to our usual high standards. And then they will say, change. And then the person who is speaking will have to change what they've just said to make the speech much better. And since the title of this show is Michael Contario Stole My Wombat, we are going to start by having a speech to people who like wombats, a wombat fanciers club. And can I have from the audience a suggestion for something which is completely unrelated to wombats for the speech to be about?
Forklift trucks.
Okay, so Tom, you are going to give a speech to a bunch of wombat fanciers about forklift trucks. And when Chris hears something that he doesn't like, he's going to say change. Take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Change.
Boys and girls.
Change.
Mammals, reptiles and other assorted species from the phylogenetic tree of nature. I'm very glad that you invited me here today.
Change.
I was disappointed you invited me.
Change.
I was ambivalent about the invitation that I received to your Wombat Fanciers Club, because at the time I received it, I was unable to lift the forks on my truck higher than 1 meter due to a mechanical failure.
Change.
Due to an electrical failure.
Change.
Due to a failure of information technology. Because I put too many computers on it.
Change.
It remains to be seen what will be done about my machine.
Change.
It's already known what happened to my machine. I had to write it off and I claimed the insurance. It was a paltry figure.
Change.
An enormous figure.
Change.
About average for a forklift truck. And it, I used that money to buy a new one, which I brought you here today.
Change.
I brought yesterday and parked overnight in the Wombat Club garage. I didn't realise at the time that it was in fact an enclosure for all your wombats. A few of them were a bit unsettled and scampered out of the... slovenly crawled out of the hole. Raced out at top speed out of that hole, and I tried to get them, but they got away too quickly. They're really fast, so I commend you on your wombat breeding. They've clearly been bred with wombat races in mind. So thank you very much. It's a pleasure to see you all here today and to see your speedy wombats. I hope you won't mind if I leave my forklift as a token of my apology.
Thank you very much. An enlightening discussion there on what not to do with your forklift truck. Neither put computers on top of it, nor drive it into a wombat enclosure. Right, for the other team, can I possibly have something unrelated to thieves, which was the other important part of the show title? So something unrelated to thieves.
Orcs.
Orcs. They're quite... I'm pretty sure they've nicked things in the past.
Overly toasted marshmallows.
Overly toasted marshmallows.
So he's giving a speech to a crowd of marshmallows.
No. So, Dave, you are giving a speech to a crowd of thieves. Yeah, where these thieves are is up to you. And your speech is on overly toasted marshmallows. And if Jonathan hears something that he doesn't like, he will call change. Take it away.
Hello, my name's David, and welcome to Question Time. We come this week from Wormwood Scrubs Prison, which is the first time that Question Time has been to prison, and we are going to be speaking to the crowd beforehand to make sure that none of you try anything.
Change.
We're going to be speaking to the crowd beforehand to make sure that you've all been properly vetted for this show.
Change.
We're going to speak to you beforehand in order to make sure that you're all politically aware. Because the worst thing ever would be to hold this show without politically aware people. What kind of questions would you possibly ask? I mean, you might ask questions about toasted marshmallows and then we'd have to answer them. I guess we'll have to answer them if they ask questions about toasted marshmallows. So, audience, are you fully aware of the current political situation in this country?
Change.
Are you currently aware of the geopolitical situation around the world?
Change.
Are you currently aware of what's going on in Mumbai? I hear that in Mumbai, there is a gross marshmallow shortage because marshmallows have been over-toasted.
Change.
Marshmallows have been in short supply because they have been eaten by wombats.
Change.
Marshmallows are in overabundant supply, and because they are so overwhelmed with the number of marshmallows, they are having to export them at great speed around the world. They need to get rid of them because they were, they're breeding or something. Does anyone know anything about marshmallows?
Marshmallows reproduce by meiosis.
By meiosis, thank you very much. Very, very well. So marshmallow meiosis is a big problem in Mumbai.
Change.
Marshmallow meiosis is a big problem in many countries around the world.
Change.
Marshmallow meiosis isn't really a problem at all. I don't know why the panel suggested that. The problem is that they are over-toasted and they are burning. We need to sort out this problem because we cannot fix third world hunger with toasted burnt marshmallows. And with that in mind, on with the show.
Thank you very much. Points all around there. The audience seemed to enjoy both sets of speeches. Our next game is called Job of a Lifetime. Dave and Jonathan will be acting together as an interviewer for Tom and Chris, who will be the interviewee, trying to apply for the job of a lifetime. Each pair will be one character, and each person in the pair will speak one word at a time, and therefore the two of them will form whole sentences. So from the audience, can I have a job of which there is probably only one in the world, only one position in the world?
Cornflake tester.
Cornflake tester. So we're going to have an interview here for the role of cornflake tester. Take it away.
Hello.
John.
Good.
Morning.
To.
You.
Tell.
Me.
What.
It.
Is.
That.
Attracted.
You.
To.
This.
Job.
Well.
It.
Started.
When.
I.
Was.
Small.
And.
I.
Found.
My
cornflakes
to
have
unusual
softness.
I
thought,
surely
can't
this
tolerate
me.
Soft
cornflakes
detract
from
the
usefulness
of
the
cornflake
brand.
How
do
you
propose
we
test
for
soft
cornflakes?
Poking
them
with
your
considerable
poking
skills.
How
would
you
poke
the
cornflakes
in
such
a
manner
as
to
ensure
no
softness
is
still
present
within
your
cornflakes?
I
would
test
them
using
progressively increasing
application
of
a
poke.
Facebook
is
dominating
the
market
in
poking
and
therefore
also
in
prodding
cornflakes.
I
have
a
good
solution
to
that.
I'm
going
to
subvert
Mark
the
founder
of
Facebook
into
submission.
Fantastic.
Mr.
Smith,
how
early
are
you
prepared
to
come
into
the
cornflake
factory?
I've
got
to
go
now.
But
my
kitchen
will
be
following
me.
Quick.
You
had
very
good
understanding
of
the
kitchen.
What? Anyway.
Thank you
for
interviewing
with
us
today.
Don't
go.
And points there to Tom and Chris for what sounded like a successful interview.
Successful in the sense of getting the job, but I think they should be quite worried about this kitchen that's suddenly come to life.
I think I misheard what you said. Never mind.
I did get the impression your kitchen was sentient.
Perhaps that's why they're so good at the job. The kitchen helps. The next game we're going to play is Blind Charades, which is a version of charades developed especially for radio. In this game, one person will perform a charade out of sight of the people who are trying to guess it. Instead, they will have to guess what the charade is by listening to the description of what the charader is doing provided by the other member of their team. So, first, can we have Dave and Jonathan going to the soundproof booth? Can I have a book, film, or TV show from the audience, please?
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Tom will perform the charade, Chris will describe the charade, and Jonathan and David will attempt to guess the charade purely from Chris's description. Please give us a counting of your thought processes as this is going on. Take it away, Tom.
He's holding up six fingers.
Which fingers?
He's holding up his left index finger, his left middle finger, his left ring finger. He's holding up his entire set of left digits, and also one other one.
Ah, six words.
I actually don't know what this means in charades. He's putting his two index fingers together, and then he's forming a T shape with his two hands.
The.
Or it's tea time.
He's holding up four fingers.
The fourth word is
fourth
the.
Word. The.
He did the T thing again. And then he held up one finger, and then he did the T thing.
Right.
So the so first and the fourth word is the
something, something, the something, something.
Two fingers.
Excuse me.
Terribly sorry.
Do that again. He's he's holding his hands against his body at sort of diaphragm height, palms upwards.
Is this appropriate for a family show? is song?
Pregnancy.
Song or?
He's holding up five fingers.
Right.
The fifth word.
Okay, so he's holding his hands out in front of him, fingers a-splay and waving them around. And then...
Has he gone mad?
He's putting his fist in his mouth and then, propelling it away from himself whilst opening his hand.
That just means we're not getting it right.
Burping or... some sort of... Some sort of sounding...
He's holding up six fingers.
Right.
Sixth word.
The same six. He's rolling up his sleeve, and then he's rubbing his fist against his upper arm.
You want to take this outside? he's rolling his fist against his upper arm, you said.
It's as if he's holding a pencil in his fist, and then he's scribbling on his arm.
He's...
Writer, or writing, or...
Tattoo.
Oh.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Hey. Hey.
Oh.
That is what you were doing with your diaphragm.
I don't get the diaphragm thing.
We'll tell you when you're older.
Okay,
and now can we have Chris and Tom go out of the room, please? And now from the audience, we're going to need another suggestion for a film, book, or TV show. Two audience members put their hands up in a very polite fashion. And are now being very English and both suggesting that the other one make a suggestion.
Why don't they both make suggestions and then we can pick one?
Oh, okay.
Inspector Morse.
Despicable Me.
Which would you prefer out of those two?
It's very difficult to mime Despicable. I mean, even on radio, we might be taken off air.
So is that a vote for or against Despicable Me?
Let's do Inspector Morse.
Okay, Inspector Morse. And I'll go and rescue them from the soundproof booth. Dave is going to mime, Jonathan will describe, and Chris and Tom will have to guess the charade from Jonathan's description. Take it away, Dave.
You're looking confused. Right, two fingers.
Two words.
He's got his palms out together in front of his hand and has just opened his hands.
A book. It's yep. a book.
And drawing a rectangle in the air with his fingers.
Square.
He's putting his thumbs up.
It's a square television show.
One finger.
First word.
He's adjusting his glasses, taking his glasses off, staring at them.
Polishing.
Staring at his hand through the glasses.
Magnifying. Magnify this? The famous book and
he's
TV
He's waving
show?
His arm around in an exasperated fashion.
He hates us.
Sort of rolling, sort of. He's extending one of his arms and tapping it with one finger on the other hand.
First syllable.
He's holding his arm out, his hand out. His other. His other hand is somehow being placed within the other hand.
In.
What?
He's excited. He's very happy
about
that.
Okay, in.
Now, confused, sort of staring into space. Oh, right, one finger.
First word.
Three fingers against his arm.
Three syllables. In.
Thumbs up.
In.
He's staring at his hand through his glasses again. He's moving his glasses towards him and away from him.
Big.
In big.
He's making a fist. He's throwing it. Now he's throwing his hands up in exasperation. Two fingers up.
Second word.
One finger against his arm.
One syllable.
He's happy with that.
This?
He's tapping his fist with his other finger in some sort of rhythmic way. Tap, tap,
bongo.
Tap, 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 tap.
You,
tap,
you
tap,
can't
tap.
Solve this game by Morse code.
Oh, he's very excited. He's just jumped around and dancing at you, and it's all very disturbing.
But it's two words, right?
He slapped his forehead with his fist. He's repeatedly face palming.
In
he's tapping his fist again in a rhythmic fashion. No, not that.
He's tapping his wrist with
his
finger.
No, yep. Yeah.
It's clearly something to do with Dan Brown.
Two fingers up.
Second word.
He's cupping his ear with his hand.
Sounds like.
He's got his hands attached to the top of his head now, and he's sort of making sort of foraging motions with his
rabbit,
weasel, vole.
He's indicating it's larger than that.
Fox,
badger.
He's got his Bear. Hands on his head again. Oh, and he's moving Wombat. His hands around as if he has sort of some sort of protrusion on his head.
Unicorn.
the foraging two... unicorn code.
It looks more like sort of antlers or something.
Antelope.
More? More? He's asking for more?
Goat.
Aardvark.
Binacorn.
Worryingly, that's slightly closer.
The aardvark code. How to decrypt your weasel.
One finger.
First word.
Two fingers tapping against the arm.
Two syllable. No, second syllable.
Second syllable.
He's pointing to his glasses.
Glass.
Focus, magnify, refract, reflect. glasses.
Ooh, more. He wants more. No.
Focus.
He's tapping. He seems to be. That.
Zoom.
He's indicating not the lenses.
The frame.
No.
The bridge.
He's confusing me now.
those weird plastic.
Not the whole thing.
Bits.
The lenses that change colour in the sun. Code.
I think your chief problem here
monocle.
Is that you got confused with what the second word
is.
Oh,
he's excited at you now.
Monocle.
Oh, it wants more.
The monocle. The monocle chronicle.
Oh my goodness. How on earth do I describe that?
What's charades for synonym?
He's...
It is exasperatedly saying the words, what's charades for synonym?
He's making glasses with his fingers in front of his face.
Binoculars.
Monoculars.
Trioculars. Oh, microscope, telescope.
Smalloscope.
Some pieces
Toning
of glass that don't change the size of anything.
Oh, you mean some glass?
He's doing the whole thing now.
Okay.
He's staring at me. Oh my goodness, he's coming to get me. He's pointing at me and he's grabbing my shirt.
Midsummer Murders.
Oh! Yeah, he thinks that's quite close.
Inspector Morse! Oh, not the code. Oh, not a code, not a code.
For glasses is spectacles.
Yeah. Not a monocle, or a bifocal.
They should have called it the Monocle Chronicles. That would have been a much better name.
How did you get in something something Morse code and then get in something something code? Inception code. Oh, so close.
And I think because it took you so long, points have to go to Dave and Jonathan there. Well done. The next game is audience sound effects. In this game, two of the contestants will tell a story, and then the audience will provide the sound effects. So can we just have some words. Just have some words that we can make a title out of. Any word.
Australia.
Australia. Any more words?
Epic quest.
The epic quest of Australia. The epic wombat quest of Australia. There we go. So telling the epic wombat quest of Australia will be Dave and Jonathan. We will have a mic to get sound effects from the audience, so take it away. The epic wombat quest of Australia.
Steve was sat around bored at home one day.
There was nothing on the TV at all other than the news.
But suddenly there was a knock at the door. Knock, knock.
Who was that, Steve thought. I better go and answer the door. So he went to the door and opened his creaky front door.
Good day, mate.
It was Bruce, his friend.
Good day, mate.
Come in, he said to Bruce. So they entered the flat and put on a brew.
Bubble. I want you to do a quest, said Bruce. A quest of epic proportions.
Epic proportions.
Dum, dum, dum. Steve remained unconvinced.
I don't think this sounds epic enough, said Steve. What is it that you would like me to do? Bruce looked at him.
His laser eyes.
I want you to go and capture as many wombats as you can find in Australia and bring them back to me. So I can put them in my zoo.
My zoo only has the smallest of animals.
Over the next week, Steve flew around in a helicopter.
He searched all over Australia from the skies, avoiding as he went the birds of the air.
Suddenly, one of the birds got caught in the rotors. And he plummeted down to the earth.
Very quickly, as the helicopter was falling to the ground, he bailed out and unfurled his parachute.
Bruce was not impressed.
Very few wombats had been collected, as they had all been in the helicopter, and now, sadly, had perished in the flames.
Bruce realized that he was going to have to repopulate his zoo with something similar to wombats, but not quite wombats. So he got a bunch of men to dress up in suits and do bad impressions of wombats.
Wombat, wombat, wombat.
The end. Awesome, we have a sound effect for the end.
I think the points there have to go to the audience. Well done, audience!
I like the fact that we now know what it sounds like if lots of wombats are trapped in a burning helicopter.
it's a stock sound effect somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime that happens on this radio show, you just insert that clip.
I was slightly worried about how much Tom seemed to enjoy the wombat demise.
I've got a long history of wombats. One nil to me.
And now we're coming towards the end of the show.
Aww.
But we've got time to bring back a childhood favourite called I Went to the Shops. However, we've spiced up our version slightly because we got bored of the old style. And I think you'll get the idea as this game goes on. So can I have a starting letter of the alphabet?
K.
You're going to start on K. You're going to go across the stage, and we're going to start with Dave. And there are bonus points available if you can relate any of the items to the title of this week's show, Michael Contario Stole My Wombat. Take it away.
I went to the shops and I bought a kleptomaniac.
I went to the shops and I bought a kleptomaniac and a lounge suit.
I went to the shops, I bought a kleptomaniac, a lounge suit, and a mouse.
I went to the shops and I bought a Neapolitan pizza.
What happened to the other things?
The kleptomaniac pinched the mouse and absconded in the lounge suit.
I went to the shops and I bought a Neapolitan pizza and an owl.
I went to the shops and I bought a Neapolitan pizza, an owl, and a pelican.
I went to the shops, I bought an owl, a pelican, and the rights to Question Time, the radio show. The Neapolitan pizza I had to eat because I got very peckish during the break.
I went to the shops and I bought a pelican and a roller coaster.
What happened to the owl?
The owl is now presenting Question Time.
I went to the shops on a roller coaster and I bought a pelican and a sarong.
What?
A sarong.
It's a sarong.
It's like beach wear for ladies.
You missed a perfectly good opportunity to say the opposite of what's right.
What's a wrong?
Right, let's do that again.
This time in no comedy Italian accents.
So there. What's wrong?
Michael Contario. He stole my wombat.
I forgot what the other item was now. Pelican?
You should have a pelican, a roller coaster, and a sarong, I believe.
Right. I went to the shops and I bought a pelican, a roller coaster, and Tim Allen.
I went...
Wait, what happened to the sarong?
Result of the pelican's obviously wearing it.
I went to the shops and I bought Tim Allen and the Underground. As in the London Underground.
What happened to the roller coaster and the other thing?
The pelican? They're not allowed down the escalator.
And we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. And I think the points there go to Tom for helping us prepare for the Olympics. That's all we've got time for. And by totting up all of the points, I can see that this week's winner is Tom Ellis. And in a moment, Tom will thank all of the people who brought him here. But let me just say, this has been Michael Contario Stole My Wombat. I've been Michael Quintario, and our panelists have been Dave Birch, Jonathan Cairns, Chris Moten, and Tom Ellis. And can we have a fictional character, a historical figure, and someone who does a mundane, everyday job for Tom to thank in his acceptance speech in the style of an Oscar acceptance speech?
Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Whom?
He has magical powers, and, you know, if you're not careful, he might cast Kamehameha on you.
And what's his name?
Goku.
Goku.
He's a martial artist.
Okay.
An underground train driver.
An underground train driver and a historical figure.
Cleopatra.
So we finish with Tom's Oscar acceptance speech thanking Cleopatra, a London underground driver, and Goku, the martial artist with magic from Dragon Ball Z. Thank you very much and good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just so emotional to be here. I never really expected to win this. You know, there's so many other great candidates, and I really don't know what to say. There's so many people I need to thank. All the Michael Contarios, real and fake. But particularly, I would like to thank Goku for making those chocolate puddings so delicious. I just couldn't have got by without them. They got me through some very difficult periods, some very lonely nights. Cleopatra did the same. I'm just really sorry she can't be here tonight, but... she needs to be at home with her mummy. And of course, my driver. He brought me here to the station underground, the venue. That's Bob, the member of the RMT, who I'm very, very lucky to have with me. So thanks to all of them. It's been a pleasure working with them. Mm.